Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Welcome in. Get cozy. Snowy spring night in Colorado. Let's first, though, talk about why we vote. Well, first off, as legendary CBS newsman Bob Schieffer liked to say, voting makes you feel big and strong. And we vote because we know that one vote can make a difference. One vote decided a recent race for mayor in Colorado. Our Marshall Zellinger explains.
It's a town that still posts its election results.
Hi.
On the window of Town Hall.
We know this is a very friendly town.
And at Ned General, the results of the Nederland mayor's race is a topic as hot as the espresso shots.
So I voted for Billy.
Tammy Hunter is one of 531 voters who cast ballots in the mayor's race.
Oh, yeah, so I'm Tammy's best friend, yeah.
Celeste Duran is another.
My best friend.
Celeste and Tammy are not just best friends.
And neighbor. We live right next door to each other.
But these best friends and neighbors are on opposite sides of the election results, which as of today has Mayor Pro Tem Nicole Sterling winning 261 to 260 over Mayor Billy Giblin.
I wanted a woman's perspective, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm being honest.
These results are different than election night April 7th, when Giblin had a one-vote lead, 258 to 257. But election night results are not official. Colorado law allows 8 days for voters to cure their ballot issue, like if someone forgot to sign the ballot envelope or the clerk couldn't verify the signature on the envelope. So after 8 days, 6 voters cured their signature issue and had their ballots counted, resulting in Sterling by one vote, not Giblin.
No, this is the first time I've experienced election close enough where it was those votes had a demonstrable effect on the outcome.
Town Administrator Jonathan Kane is now preparing for an automatic recount that will be done Monday.
We hand count, so we have our clerk and a team of election judges that do that work for us.
I was really disappointed that so few people voted in our town.
Despite the drama of a one-vote race, out of 1,400 ballots sent out, only 38% of voters returned them to Town Hall.
Because we have a social media page that people are constantly commenting on. And if people can do that, they can't. Why aren't they voting?
Man, if votes were decided by people commenting on a Facebook page, you'd have like 105% turnout. The administrator tells me there's a town board meeting on Tuesday and the town would like to install the new mayor at that meeting. There are an odd number of votes, 531. There's one spoiled ballot that could mean the person spilled coffee on it or it was unreadable or maybe they filled in both bubbles. But if for some reason there's a tie after the recount, Kyle, it could be a coin flip, a name out of a hat. I prefer the pick a card, any card.
Okay, we had two folks here at 9 News who didn't want to write a story today, Rochambeau, for who was going to have to do it. Could you Rochambeau to figure out?
They talked about rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that. Like, could you imagine telling the story like, I almost won an election, but I lost because I threw scissors?
Yeah, well, listen, worse things have happened. Marshall Zellinger, thank you. We've been woefully short on these fireside shows lately, woefully short on winter, of course. But as cities announce watering restrictions and fines for violators this summer, we got a batch of the free stuff for us today. Morning started out sunny but chilly, right? And then the snow came in hard. It was dumping buckets at times. You know, not exactly what you would describe as baseball weather, but, you know, we're going to make do. Snow-covered Coors Field early, but with baseball to be played around 2:15, the grounds crews got to work line by line. They plowed the infield, or plowed the outfield, rather, got things good to go there. There are 4 games against the Dodgers this weekend. And then back went the tarp, and look at that. Holy cow. And there's even fans in the seat. That might be actually the game time attendance for tonight. No, that's mean of me to say. And it's not true. It's the Dodgers. There will be fans that show up. But Corey Reppenhagen, they're going to be showing up for some chilly ball tonight.
Yeah, you know, 2 to 4 inches went pretty quick. Not as fast as that AFC Championship game, but 5 hours quick. It's gone. But this snow did get us off the naughty list here in Denver. To start the day, we had the 4th worst snow season here ever in Denver. 3.4 inches officially at DIA gets us up to 27.3 for the season, and we're off the list. We're in 8th place for the worst snow season. Lots of sunshine and blue skies out there to finish off this snow day. temperatures in the 30s at the moment, just above freezing, but we are headed into some cold territory. Like Kyle mentioned, we've got a hard freeze. That's why we're extending the weather impact alert until 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Temperatures 25 to 20 degrees. I don't expect any slick roads as they're drying out, but that's going to be the impact to vegetation during the growing season. Kyle?
Thanks, Corey. So teachers in Sheridan have been on strike for nearly 2 weeks now. I mean, everybody up to the governor is involved. He's telling both sides in that tiny district outside Denver they just need to hash it out. Now there's another Democrat coming in with an even more drastic idea, getting rid of the Sheridan School District altogether. State Senator Jeff Bridges represents that area in Arapahoe County. Colorado Public Radio was first to report that he's drafted a bill to merge the small Sheridan School District into a bigger district like Denver Public Schools. Bridges says the Sheridan School District doesn't have the resources that it needs to serve students, and the situation's even more urgent now that communication's broken down between teachers and leadership. Senator Bridges and Governor Polis both mentioned that they're concerned about the strike's impact on student attendance. It's dropped off quite a bit during the strike. More than 100 teachers walked off the job earlier this month. They've been working without a contract since August. They want higher pay, they want more transparency from the district, and they want to bring in other school staff like paraprofessionals into their union. So, hey, a quick note about tonight's program, not just a fireside show. We are also broadcasting on both Channel 9 and Channel 20. If you are watching on Channel 20, we're going to turn you over to the Rockies game at 6:15. If you're watching on 9 News, the next is going to continue as usual through 6:30. So this means that our commercials are going to air at slightly different times than usual, but there are no more commercials on this night than any other. Cut back on water use or pay the fine. Denver Water says there are little things that we can all do to make a big difference. And Democrats at the state capitol are giving orders to colleges about making abortion pills more accessible to students. That's next. Today's snow isn't going to dent our drought, and Denver Water is asking people to make the small decisions that could add up to significant water savings. Denver Water says the average customer uses 45, 50 gallons of water indoors every day. They're asking people to try and cut back 20% on indoor and outdoor use. This summer, homeowners and businesses can only water their lawns twice a week. To cut back on inside water use, they're asking people to consider shorter showers, using a dishwasher rather than hand washing dishes.
If you use your faucet 1 minute less per day, that adds up to over 2 million gallons per day for all the customers we serve. So even little changes within your home, even if you don't think you're making a difference, you are.
You heard the man. Shower together. Denver Water is also implementing drought pricing for outdoor water use starting in May. It's based on your previous bill. Customers who reduce their water usage by 20% should see little impact on their bill, but people who use their average amount or more could pay more than $200 in fines this year. The food bank for Larimer County does not just provide food to families in need. Another huge expense for young families, diapers and wipes. The food bank distributes tens of thousands of them each month. And that's why this week's Word of Thanks Microgiving campaign supports the Nappy Project. That was an independent community effort in Northern Colorado before it was rolled into what the food bank does. Thousands of families have come to rely on having help with that significant expense each month. The food bank reminded me that families have to have a supply of diapers to drop off with their kid at daycare so that a parent can then go to work to earn money. So this is more than just a nice to have. It's part of the puzzle of helping families get back on their feet. The shipments of donated diapers and baby products don't always include the sizes and the items that the food bank's customers need the most, and the food bank then has to pay to fill in the gaps with its own orders. Last year, they also lost the state funding for their program. What we are going to be able to do, thanks to your very predictable generosity, is to help sustain that program for years to come. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you the link to donate. You know how it works. Even $5 helps because so many people do it at once. That's how you've raised $18 million in microgiving. 7,500 of you have signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time, and each month that donation is automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. We expect that to add about $40,000 to each of our five weekly campaigns here in April.
This is both an affordability bill and a public safety bill.
It's a new response to the reality that Colorado's first responders can't often afford to live where they work. All right, it is time for Rockies baseball for everybody who is watching on Channel 20. The 4-14 NL West leading LA Dodgers are in town for a four-game series against the 7-12 Rockies. They've shoveled the snow off the seats. I almost said a bad word there. They've got those two-foot-long $45 hot dogs warmed and ready. It's going to be a brisk night out there, so enjoy that baseball on Channel 20 or stay with us on 9 News for more of that word that I almost said on TV. Colorado's law enforcement agencies have a recruiting problem. Many agencies say they can't pay officers enough to keep up with the state's cost of living. And that means qualified first responders are taking jobs in other states instead. A new state law aims to help those first responders buy a home here. It's a bipartisan bill that would make first responders, including peace officers, firefighters, and emergency medical technicians, eligible for mortgage loans through the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. It's a non-governmental organization that provides fixed-rate mortgage loans to low- and middle-income Coloradans trying to buy a home. The program also provides financial education and down payment assistance to those families.
We actually have some police departments in our state that have over 20% vacancy rates. Part of this is because they can't find places to live in the community where they serve, so they just won't go there and go to work there. So this bill makes that down payment and therefore home ownership possible.
What this bill is about is about taking care of the people who take care of us. It's about making sure that the folks who put their lives on the line, who serve our community, that they have the ability to live in the communities that they serve.
Not every first responder will be eligible. This new law has income caps on applicants. Democrats in charge of the state capitol are trying to require colleges to provide access to abortion medication unless that school has a religious objection. The bill, sponsored by progressive Democrats, would require colleges and universities with student health centers to make abortion medication available to students. Health centers on campus without a pharmacy would then have to write scripts for students to take elsewhere. The bill applies to both public and private institutions, but schools could ask for a religious exemption. The bill's backed by reproductive rights groups like Planned Parenthood, which says this will help students who might not be able to afford or to travel to an off-campus doctor.
Students who come from, for example, out of state sometimes, often their doctor and the experience with their doctor is their childhood pediatrician, right? And so being able to access the care that they need at a place that is accessible to them, that is near their college campus, is going to be ideal for any student.
There's opposition to the bill from Republicans at the state capitol, as well as religious and pro-life groups who say this bill actually encourages abortion. Republicans are also pointing to the costs that the state will have to implement and monitor this program, given that this is a really rough budget year. It passed committee yesterday on a party-line vote and is now headed to the full House for a vote there. Employees at Boulder's NOAA Global Monitoring Lab got some great news this week. They get to keep their jobs for now. The University of Colorado Boulder told 42 employees at the start of the month that they were going to be furloughed without pay in May, when federal funding was going to run out. Yesterday, the university announced that the feds released more than $4 million, so everybody gets to stay. The scientists at the lab track greenhouse gases and solar radiation and the ozone hole over Antarctica. Chat again with meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen. And, man, we knew it was coming, right, this morning, Corey? It was chilly out there, but it was sunny. And then, man, when that snow wall hit, right, it was just like you guys had been saying, Fort Collins first and then the northern suburbs, then Denver, then the southern suburbs. Yep.
100%. It was almost as fast as that AFC championship wave that came through, but that was some legit snow for sure. 5 hours this one took to get through the city. Who had blue skies and sunshine at the end of the day on your bingo card? If you did, you're a winner. We're always a winner here with the weather in Colorado. Temperatures just hovering slightly above freezing for now, but we do have the weather impact alert extending into tomorrow morning because the temperatures will drop hard and fast. Hard freeze, that's what we're calling it. 25 to 20 degrees, that's where the temperatures will bottom out by tomorrow morning. I wouldn't expect to see any really slick roads because they're really drying out fast, but the impact is going to be to vegetation during the growing season. After 8 a.m., things will start to be a little bit better, but the temperature is good 15, maybe 10, 15 degrees colder than normal here across the Denver area. Freeze warnings all across the eastern side of the state, rebounding nicely into the 50s and 60s. And then once we get through Saturday, we're going to get right back into the warm stuff, warm sunshine, even some 80s in the forecast. The next storm to watch isn't until Friday. We have some showers in the forecast.
Brother, I love it. This is like role reversal day, right? I'm in jeans, boots, and a sweater, and you're wearing a three-piece suit. You're dressed to the nines. More importantly, I wanted to wish you a happy National Haiku Day, as pointed out by some of our viewers. I did not get you anything. I assume you have the gift for us. Roll the intro.
Corey Reppenhagen is on the weather beat.
Skies lacking luster, desperate for real weather. Haiku Day comes through.
That was Corey Reppenhagen on the weather beat.
I tell you what, the guy is a double threat, triple threat. I mean, that's pretty impressive, just like that. So, you know, news is not always the optimistic place in town, but each week around here, we end with something different. It is a look at the goodness in the lives of Coloradans, even if today the good news is they want to go someplace warmer.
We're going home to North Carolina where it's 88 degrees.
We will have your good news and your feedback on this fireplace show next. I really think that the snow put people in a good mood today, right? It felt like such a relief after our dry winter. So it was easy to swing around town and ask people our favorite Friday question, setting aside the headlines for the good news in the lives of our neighbors.
My good news is the snow! Woo!
My good news is I'm going home to Oklahoma tomorrow. It's freezing here today.
We're going home to North Carolina where it's 88 degrees.
Yeah, ready for that.
Yeah.
My good news is that it's snowing in April.
I like it. It's fun to be outside.
I love it.
We arrived from Seattle on a snowy Denver day, and we went to Sam's number 3, and the wait staff was amazing, refilling the coffee and keeping us happy and warm.
My good news is I overcame cancer and I feel good and I can run around and supervise and hang out with all these cute kids and still live a great life.
That's amazing.
Really?
That's why my hair is so short and curly.
It's beautiful.
My good news is we have a softball tournament this weekend.
My good news is today's my birthday.
Our big plans are go to Mexican tonight, right? Yeah, and then tomorrow we're going to a rave.
My good news is that I kicked a bunch of things off my bucket list today.
My good news is we're going on a field trip today.
I'm Lucas from Brazil. We are visiting Colorado for the first time in the end of the winter season. And luckily we got to have some snow to enjoy it. So nice to get to know the Colorado weather and enjoy the city. Have a good day.
Look how happy people are, right? That's life. So this program's been on the air for almost a decade, and there is something about our theme music that has always had little kids shaking their tail feathers. Our original music created a whole army of dancing babies. We had a ton of these videos. There are also some dogs. So then we had to change our theme music because we didn't own the rights to it, and it showed up in a commercial in town for a pizza shop, I think. The current music does not speak to the youth of America in quite the same way, but it certainly moves Mei Lin. She is 2, and her parents, Stephen and Amanda, say she loves it so much, they will rewind it and play it back for her during the commercial breaks. Mei Lin, what a sweet kid. What a cute kid. And she's moving. Listen to her go, too. Your feedback. Jessica heard me nearly cuss unintentionally on air earlier today. I think that's the closest I've ever come to doing that. And Jessica says, say this 3 times fast, I dare you. Shamelessly shovel sitting seats of snow. Jessica, that's mean. I'm not going to do that 2 more times. I know what you're trying to do. Finally, on the sweater, John says, why is Kyle wearing his wife's sweater? Text that says, dig the hell out of that cardigan. And Michael says, if memory serves, they buried my late grandfather in a sweater like that. May he rest in peace.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.